Oh wow. I love that intro. It's always, I don't know. It gets my blood going somehow. Very, very thank you very much for the royal fanfare. I can't remember where I got that little bitty from, but it seems appropriate because this is the state of address, which is I've been doing it bi-monthly now, so it's an opportunity for me, station manager Glenn, to talk to you, the listener, about all the cool things that we've been doing here at CICK, your Smithers Community Radio Station. So starting off with, we always talk about what the numbers are like. We talk about some of the things that we've been doing in the community, but also stuff that we've got coming up for the next month or so. As well, we also have a guest that we'll be chatting with, one of our programmers here at the station. We did a little trip, and we'll talk more about that later on. And we'll play a brand new track, a Canadian track that I've stumbled across, I think that you'd like to hear. So starting at the top, let's talk about the numbers. Finances are something that is necessary for any business, and that includes nonprofits like us. We rely on primarily about 80% grants, and then the rest comes from the community, like you. It comes in as memberships. As a nonprofit, we have members active members are potentially can vote for the board. They can be help certainly can come to meetings and be part of that as well. And, members in this regard also get cool benefits from the station, too, including opportunities to get tickets to musical events. They get discounts to our stuff that we put on in the community, including some of our parties and live music that we put on, among other fun and cool things that we do, prize draws and stuff like that. So this is our membership drive week. And we started off last week on Wednesday with Smithers Brewing Company. That was late June. We sat down with them. We didn't sit down. We stood up and we partied with our friends at Smithers Brewing Company because they were celebrating their 7th anniversary. And happens to be that we were celebrating our 15th anniversary as a radio station. So we combined forces and teamed up with a really fun band out of the Yukon, out of Whitehorse, to kind of celebrate all the cool things that we've done in the last 15/7 years. So that started off our membership drive. We also took the opportunity to tell people as they came in about who we are and why they should support Smithers Community Radio. And many people did. And so we're kind of well on our way. We're just wrapped up our first week. So we still have a few more days left before we kind of officially call it like the end of the official membership drive, but we'll still be calling all those people who have been members in the past in the last year or two. So to give everybody an opportunity to still be part of the station and feel that feeling of like ownership, shared ownership of this kind of cool machine that we call Smithers Community Radio. So that's membership drive. If you want to be part of this station, this movement in Smithers, you could certainly do that by going to the website, checking out the up on the top. It says memberships, and you can click on that, and it sends you off to our membership tool where you can throw your $25 towards us. It's $25 for individual membership, $60 for family, and then there's other options there as well, including like sustaining member or sponsorships and so on. But we use this tool called Zephy that will collect your credit card information and all that kind of cool stuff. Just keep in mind, when you're doing that, Zephy does ask you for a donation for its own purposes. You can skip that part and give them a zero. Don't be afraid of doing that. Doesn't hurt us at all. So moving on. Other stuff, as I said, 80% of our funding does come from grants. And some of those that we just recently received include CN Rail. We did ask CN Rail because we are broadcasting out of a CN Rail train car that we bought a few years ago in Central Park. And they were so generous to help us out with a project that we've been trying to work on here. With Zinqua gave us money last year that helped us get about a third of the way towards funding new steps in the back of the train car, as well as a new heating system in the back of the train car. Because in the winter, we shut off half the train car. So to make it easier for us to kind of keep people warm in the studio. But then it kind of makes it harder for us to do our lounge car sessions and stuff like that. So we wanted to make lounge car sessions an annual thing. We want to make it so it can happen 365. And for that to happen, we really needed to make some better steps so that people who have some difficulty walking or moving make it easier for people to attend or to, for that matter, to perform at our lounge car sessions. But also, we needed a better heating system. Our old boiler system is very antiquated, I'd say. As a 1929 train car, there's pros and cons, including the cons of heating a very old train car. But CN, Witzinqua, and now just recently Skeena Gold all have pitched in, and now we are able to proceed with a new heating system and the steps as we were hoping to put in. So we're excited about that. We also received our gaming grant. Annually, our community gaming grant is something that we put in requests for support for our lounge car sessions. And we just got notice that we received funding that will allow us to keep our lounge car sessions going for another year. So we're really excited by that. So you're probably thinking, or maybe, that what are these lounge car sessions? Lounge car sessions are mini performances. 30-minute performances are similar to NPR's Tiny Desk sessions, if you've ever seen that before. They all happen in our beautiful train car in the back. It's gorgeous back there with velvet curtains and so on. And we set up either local musicians, emerging artists. We've even had flamenco dance back there, which is kind of a crazy thing to put on the radio, but we did. And it's just an opportunity for people to try out new stuff, to let to grow an audience, to basically maybe in some cases get their first recordings. Because we do everything, including audio recordings and video recordings, and we give it back to the artist. And then we also put that the audio on our radio station and give them a little bit of outreach. So all of that stuff happens in our lounge car stage. And we call them lounge car sessions. Okay, other news. Just recently, CICK went to the National Community Radio Association conference, which in this year was held in Nanaimo. We'll talk more about that because that's actually kind of one of the things I wanted our guest Tom to talk about. But we went there and picked up a couple awards. So CICK has been collecting national awards for a while now. We just got two brand new ones. This year we won Best Variety Show Outside In, which is a program that is actually hosted by me. How about that? That you can hear on Sundays at 5 o'clock and repeated on Mondays at 9 a.m. Now, also a winner was Brendan Barlow, who won for a Best Metal radio show. And his radio show, Syrup Moose, is also a really great a radio show that if you like harder, heavier rock and roll, you could check out on our airwaves. He produces it actually in Hazleton, which is kind of cool, which means, that you could do a radio show even if you're not based here in Smithers. His show, I'm just trying to track it down to see when Syrup Moose is on. Yeah, Syrup Moose is on Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. So go check out Syrup Moose Radio for that, for an award-winning show. Let's see, other things. We did receive a few new sponsors. That's the other community support that we get from our community. We did pick up a sponsor from Betty's on Broadway. You can check them out at 3756 Broadway. Now, new shows. I always like to talk about the new programming that comes on CSEK. We've got four brand new shows that you should check out. There's Ghost Pipe, which is sort of a variety of like eclectic variety of really cool, usually new, very much alternative music. Includes punk, garage. There's I don't know. I feel like a lot of the music that Olivia plays is sort of on the edgier stuff, but not always. But it's really, really fun, really, really cool. And you're going to hear stuff that you've never heard before, which is kind of awesome. So go check out Ghost Pipe on Tuesdays at 11. And the host there is Olivia. Another new show that you could tune into is, especially if you like Cuban music, is Sabroso. So Jay produces this show, not here in the studio, but outside of town. And you can check out Sabroso, which is a chronological history of Cuban music over the years. And it is unbelievably well-researched. Jay does an amazing job at talking about the origins and the history of Cuban music, which continues to impress me, just how amazing Cuban music is. We have our own little piece of Cuban music here in Smithers with Alex Cuba, but this goes well beyond anything I ever knew about Cuban music. And thanks so much for that. You can tune in to Wednesday at 12 for Sabroso. Newsroom North is also a new program. Fridays from 5 to 6. Newsroom North is sort of a news program. It definitely takes our local CSK journalists, both Pam and Dan, brings them into the studio in partnership with other journalists in the community, including the written journalists of Amanda Follett or Matt Simmons, who both write for, now I'm going to gap, the Narwhal and the, do you remember the other one that, what's the one Amanda does?
She's in Northward.
Yeah, but there's another, there's also another news program. Just trying to think. There's Narwhal and...
There's one called Sentinel. Would it be that one?
No. News. Oh, and just completely gapping. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, there is another one. I'll remember it in a minute. But when I do, Amanda is the writer for that publication. It's a electronic publication out of Vancouver. Anyway, the whole concept of news sponsors, or I mean not news sponsors, news show called Newsroom North is that they kind of talk about, summarize what stories they've been working on over the week, but they also talk about the complexities of what it's like to be a journalist, especially in the North here. Some of the trials and tribulations of the Freedom of Information Act and how difficult it is sometimes to get information just to even talk about related to different things that they're researching. All of these things that are kind of hidden behind the scenes, we get to hear about on Newsroom North. So anyway, moving on, the other fourth and final show, new show that we just picked up here at CICK is Larkspur. And Larkspur is a show that features bluegrass, Americana, Canadiana, it's kind of classic country, and Aurora has been hosting that show just recently. They've only got about four shows under their belt, and you can check that show out on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. That kind of gets us caught up to a lot of what's been going on in at CICK. We were talking about lounge car sessions. You can go to the website smithersradio.com and go check out. You could sign up on our listserv so that you can be notified when the new lounge car sessions coming in so that you could potentially attend them. They happen all throughout the week. There's no rhyme or reason as to when we schedule them. It's really based on the artist's availability. A lot of times it's an artist who's kind of coming through town and they're only here for sometimes a few hours, let alone a day, if we're lucky. So, that's a great way for you just to get these updates. And sometimes it works out that you can attend one of these little free intimate shows and catch somebody that is just happens to be kind of going through town. I think that's all I really wanted to talk about with the stuff that's happening at the station. There'll be our new intern, Berlin, is going to be out and about town doing stuff with our pedal-powered party machine. So you look forward to seeing Berlin out there. Say hi to our intern. Berlin's also going to be at the music festivals for example, Midsummer's just coming up. You can say hi to Berlin. Berlin's going to probably stop you in your tracks when you say that and probably get you to do a station ID, which is always a fun way to get your voice on the radio. And those are some of the fun things that we're doing over this summer. So But how about let's talk about some of the stuff that we've just done. So I mentioned something that we went to this National Community Radio Association Awards in Nanaimo. At this time, they were held in Nanaimo. They were held in Sydney, Nova Scotia. We weren't able to attend that one. That's just a little too far away for us. But we were lucky to send myself and Tom Roper, one of our programmers here at CICK, to the conference. Was it last week, Tom?
It was last week, and it was a great time.
It was a great time. It was a gathering of, what do you think, about 80 people-ish?
Yeah, I'd say that's what I was kind of thinking in that area there.
Yeah. The National Community Radio Association represents around 126 or 130 stations. About the total community and campus radio stations across Canada is about 170-something. So it's the majority of campus and community radio stations are part of that association. And on an annual basis, they get together and the different programmers and volunteers and staff from these organizations come together and do workshops, present workshops over like a 3-day period. And then there's this big gala that happens where they hand out awards. Plus also the community that puts it on usually kind of it shows off their arts community, their performing arts community. And I think Nanaimo did that as well with some of their performers that they had out. You saw some. You were at the first barbecue or whatever that they had there too, right?
Right. I was actually fortunate to be at the welcoming barbecue. And their radio station is called Chili.
Yeah, C-H-L-Y.
C-H-L-Y. And they've tried to change the approach of chili, but it keeps hanging on as the red hot chili that they're recognizing themselves by, you know?
Yeah, I've seen it on their bumper stickers.
And they had a welcoming barbecue, and there was probably about 70 or so people there, and they were just cooking up a storm.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of cool. They have this studio. Like our studio here on the train car is very original.
Yeah.
But their studio is original in their way. They're in the basement of the Queen's Hotel.
Yeah.
And it's the coolest place down there. It's kind of like a bunch of catacombs where you're going in different rooms, and there's a studio announcer right in the back as soon as you open a door, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was kind of fun. And then, so we had this great barbecue, and then they had their a couple of performers that were giving us some entertainment in that evening. It was really a neat night.
Yeah, that's I think that's kind of, if we were ever to do something like that at CICK, like put on one of these gatherings, we would certainly have lots to show off,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we certainly would. We actually had a gathering out at our ranch one time. We paid the mortgage off, and we just set up a band stand. We had 9 bands show up.
Wow.
Like people want to play.
Yeah.
And that's how you get that entertainment feeling out there, you know, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, some of the workshops, you attended a lot of the different workshops. I put on one of them, but I attended as well, many of them. By the time the whole thing's done, I'm usually kind of exhausted. But it's so interesting to talk to other community radio stations and to learn that we are all doing the same thing, fighting the same fight, you know, and to learn that we're not alone in this.
That is one of the most important parts of that, Glenn, was that you're in your community radio and you kind of think that you are the only one on the planet.
Yeah.
But when you get to this conference and you see all these other people and they've all got interesting approaches, they've got interesting, you know, homes where they live, and it's just cool to get with that group. It really is.
Yeah. I know that you kind of hosted a little quorum where they broke us all up into different areas of interest at one point, and you grabbed pencil and paper and sat down at a table and attracted a few other people from, I think there were stations from both Sydney Radio. No, maybe Sydney Radio wasn't there, but it was definitely one from Comox.
Sydney was there.
Sydney was there too.
Yeah, also. Yeah.
And your whole the thought you were working through was how to get more listeners.
Yeah, that's something that I've kind of wanted to promote in this in the position that we're in with community radio. Is I think we have something to offer. And to get it out to the community, I think it's very important. So what we were looking at on that particular workshop was to bring it down to some kind of a niche.
Yeah.
That we could work that group over. And
that's right.
At the time, I had suggested the cross-country ski club.
Yeah.
And the biking club, like a winter-summer thing.
Yeah.
And where we would sort of approach them, and we could broadcast with them and get them sort of on board, because they're running with a fairly large group of people
mm-hmm.
that would maybe sort of be interested in if it was specifically mm-hmm. along their line. That was sort of our approach, you know?
Yeah. And I remember having a couple thoughts about that too, is that about sustainability, in the sense of like what a programmer comes with an idea and a passion, and then they and then that's what sustains them, is like this interest or passion. And to, it's like you can't take somebody who is sitting as a volunteer programmer and say, we want you to do a program that appeals to this particular niche, because likely that's not likely going to interest them long term.
Right.
And who knows if there's content that you can create that you can make a long term program. I mean, thinking about your example of, I think, was it the bike group?
Yes.
There actually has been a bike program, and I think actually it's coming back on air again. But anyway, depending on the niche, mm-hmm. maybe more difficult to come up with program content, or to find somebody who is passionate about that.
Right, right. And then really, that's one of the features of community radio, is passion. And I noticed that in a lot of speakers when we were in Nanaimo.
Yeah.
And they were talking about their program, and there was a lot of excitement in their voice, you know.
We were talking earlier when we were thinking about things to talk about during this little segment, and we were talking about the difference between commercial and community radio. And I think that this, certainly the one thing that really is definitely different, is that the programmers come to us with the idea, and usually that idea is there's so much excitement and passion behind it.
Right.
And you don't get that in commercial radio. I mean, they'll do a pretty good job of making it sound like they're passionate.
Right.
But there might be some passion there. I shouldn't just, you know, assume that there isn't, but there is, but it certainly, I mean, the types of content that we programs, for example, the ones I just mentioned,
yeah.
The Cuban music, history of Cuban music.
Like
when I listen to Jay talk about Cuban music, you could tell how excited he is about this stuff.
Completely. And that's exactly like you brought up these new programs, and they're just very interesting.
Yeah.
And if a person listens to them, they can feel the passion through that program of what that programmer is trying to convey to let us learn, you know, whatever. And I've had a couple sessions myself where I played something that I just feel like very excited about it, you know, and I would like someone else to hear it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of my goal, is to expand our listeners.
Yeah.
So that when we're putting on a really cool program, it'd be nice if people are hearing it. You know?
Totally.
That part is really cool. And when I go back to the bicycle or the cross country skiers.
Yeah.
I mean, each one of these groups, every group that people are in, there's always an in-depth side of that. You know, just like this guy that's doing the Cuban music. I mean, my brother went down there on a drumming tour, and it's incredible the amount of beats that they have, you know, whatever goes on, where all this music has come from. It's intense, and, you know, there's so much history. And if you just even go into going back to the bicycles, you know, we can draw that out. Like, bikes have become huge right now in our society, you know, and we're pushing, you know, active transportation. It's a very big issue that we try to get off of driving everywhere, you know, and make safety. That's another issue with bicycles that we need to always talk about, how important it is to be careful. So I actually, when I was a kid, I got hit by a bike when I was about 8 or so. I never got hurt, but it's embedded in me that I'm always watching a vehicle.
Wait, so you were hit, you were on a bike.
And I was on a bicycle, and I was going through an intersection, and I ran into a car.
Got it.
And
or did the car? Did you run into the car, or the car run into you?
Well, it was kind of a both ways. He came in too quickly. I should have probably stopped, but I wasn't really looking.
Right.
But that incident has made me a little more safety conscious.
For sure.
And that's one thing I find with bikers that I would like to, when I got into a biking program, would promote safety.
Yeah.
Because when a car runs you over, normally you're dead.
Yeah.
It's all over, you know? And you got to think about that when you're riding down the road, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But anyways, that's sort of a lean on that niche end of that program, Glenn.
Yeah.
But the other things that I wanted to say about the conference, first and foremost was what a place to have that conference. In Nanaimo, first, but then it was stationed up at the Island University up on the hill.
Yeah,
I've never seen a place that is had so many stairs. Like I brought that up a few times. You know, people are going upstairs and they're getting worn out. Every building is higher than the one below it.
Yeah.
So you don't need an exercise program when you're at that university. It's a very cool place.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they had there, which was kind of neat, I actually brought a couple pictures, Glenn, and this one here. They've got at least five different sites, like garden sites, that you can go, and you would see, you know, it's just a place that you can relax also while you're working at the university. So there's lots of room to walk around.
Yeah, you don't see that at every university. I mean, you got pictures here of, like, I think this is like the koi garden, like a Japanese garden with koi fish and bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
And the other one here is like, it looks like a indigenous carving of like a medicine man or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like a Salish Sea site. And they're very peaceful. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, when we were at the university, it's the summer session. So there's really not very many people around.
Yeah.
So it was very, very quiet wherever you went. And you went to these gardens. It was, you could almost meditate, you know, it's so peaceful there, you know.
Yeah.
So that was sort of one of the other features that really stood out in my mind.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I enjoyed so much is, like, you have to remember Nanaimo is famous for its Nanaimo Bar.
Yeah.
Do you know that, Glenn?
I do.
Yeah. And so just prior, before our conference, they decided they were going to outdo a Nanaimo cooking class, Nanaimo Bar cooking class in the Atlantic provinces.
Mm.
And so they built this Nanaimo Bar at the cooking club, cooking class at the university, and it broke the record.
Huh. For this, like, size?
For the size, the thing was like 6 or 7 tables long. Mm-hmm. You know, it's inconceivable.
Yeah.
So one of my goals, one of my number one goals of coming down to the conference, of course, was to get a piece of that Nanaimo Bar gone, completely gone. There was no one piece left.
That's hilarious.
So it was quite funny, But backing up on the workshops, what was probably the most difficult part was that you have three workshops going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And you have to make a conscious decision of which one is going to interest you the most when all three of them are providing you with a lot of information.
Yeah. There was workshops. I remember that happening a couple of times for me, too. There's workshops on artificial intelligence and its role in community radio or maybe there should be, like, just a discussion as to what's appropriate use of artificial intelligence. I think that, you know, like, that was a workshop that I wanted to go to, but I couldn't because I was going to something else.
Right.
There was a workshop on music directors and what kind of, how to receive new music and what do you chart? Like, so that's one of our responsibilities as a community radio station is, like, we put what we play up on a website somewhere so that artists know that we're playing them. And there's a guy who's like, his primary job is just that. He works at CFUV, the University of Victoria's campus radio. And he does a bang up job of doing that. And so he was there to tell people, you know, give some pointers on how to do it right and to save some energy, which is also one of the things that we're always trying to do is reduce the amount of administration it takes to run a place like this, because we don't we don't raise a lot of money to make this place run. We were talking about money, you know, yesterday, because we do have to ask for money to make this place run, because we don't necessarily sell advertising. And I think if we did sell advertising, it would be really kind of hard anyway, because there's a lot of people here already sell advertising, and we'd be in direct competition with other organizations and radio stations that are doing the same thing. So we just decided to not do that. So we extend our hand. Anyway, my point was, one of the things that you can do is to reduce how much money you need to run a station by finding efficient ways of running a station, and, you know, like charting music on a website. There are tricks and tips that you can do to make it easier. So that was like a workshop that I wanted to go to, but I couldn't go to because I was attending another workshop.
Right, exactly.
But so that's why there was two of us, and, you know, that's why we sat down and talked about workshops a little bit, all the different ones that we went to, so we can pass that information on. But, yeah.
Right, and so that was very interesting. I actually attended the charting workshop.
Oh, yeah,
so
good.
I was able to get a few tips on what was going on.
I'll have to talk to you about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And so there was... So every day, each day, there was a three-day conference, and each day there was three or four workshops going on during the time period between your breakfast, lunch, and time off.
Yep.
And then at the end of that session, each day there was a movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
And both movies were so interesting. The first one being, it was kind of an American-style campus radio.
Yeah.
And they had built a little bit of a history on how the campus radios had actually produced important music by playing alternative music that people listened to, and that it made the bands more successful where they couldn't get on mainstream radio, but they were able to still get their music out there. So that kind of gave you a real good idea of how one of the things that were important for in that sense.
I think we're going to take that movie and maybe we'll play it back here for our programmers and volunteers.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be really fun. And then the last movie they had was, which was kind of cool, was a documentary of Chilliwack radio station getting their tower.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the most interesting parts was they fought for 10 years to get this tower, the site and everything. They finally got it going.
Yeah.
And then the mainstream radio station bought the tower property and kicked them off. So it was kind of like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So it took them another 10 years.
Yeah.
This is a total of 20 years before they got this other tower going.
Yeah.
And the guy that was driving it, this Aaron
Levy,
what a driver. What a worker, you know. And when you run into see people like that, it's inspirational.
Yeah,
the dedication, you know, and the commitment.
Yeah, there's that passion we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's not just programmers that have that passion. It's like the ones that run the station too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you said Chilliwack, but it's actually CIVL out of Abbotsford.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Close enough there.
It is close, but it's not close enough. Yeah. No, that's right. So, and then as we went along too, towards the end of the session, there was a lady, an indigenous lady, that was a kind of a meditation teacher and whatever. And so it was a pretty cool little session. We all came in there. It was quite full.
Yeah.
And she kind of did a group hypnosis.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, you know, you're kind of running around and you're going to this, watching that, but this was more like, let's just relax and let's take it all in. And she did a really good job of talking us into that position. Do you know
that she's got a radio show that she does that?
I'm not sure if she is or not. I've got her name here, and it's Cooley Cross.
Yeah.
And her session was Unstorying the Airwaves, a portal into collective remembering. So it was like, wow, we got to try that, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. So that was another great session off of that. And then, of course, you know, being in Nanaimo and being on the ocean and just the vibe of that town.
Yeah.
You know, Nanaimo's no different than all of the towns in British Columbia. We've all got problems with housing.
Yeah.
We've got problems with, you know, the problems of city living.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful community.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people working to try to improve conditions, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think they've come a long way of improving that community, for sure.
Yeah, 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 I think it really has. So the other thing then, Glenn, that was fortunate for me is I have a son on the island, so I was able to get to see him as part of this excursion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was helpful for me just in that side, that I had a little bit of time with the family along with my conference. So for me, it was a big win-win, very enjoyable.
Well, I'm glad that worked out. Well, I'm glad you were able to attend. It's always great. That was your first conference you went to, and I'm trying to think of how many I've gone to. I think I've probably gone to 8, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe more. I haven't actually sat down and actually, but pretty much at least 8. And there, every time I learn something, every time.
Yeah.
But it's always, I think, the most impactful for people who've never seen one before, because it's eye-opening to know, to experience and to hear other people's passions. So, but I think I kind of have to wrap it up a little bit. We got to move on to other programming here on the station. So thanks for coming in, Tom. And I wanted to tell everybody that your show is on Mondays on 6 o'clock. It's called On the Ropes. To hear more of Tom covering... interviewing people who have interesting stories, sometimes origin stories, which are always fun for people because there's so many interesting people who've made their homes here. And I know you got a good one coming up, or potentially got coming up, with a very interesting individual who's part of is it going to be part of Canada Games he's attending, or the Olympics? Or
this fellow, Adam Kingsmill, his name is.
Yeah.
He's a Paralympic. Hockey.
Yeah.
Goalie,
yeah.
And he's been all over the world playing for Canada. So it's a very, I'm hoping that I can get him as my returning story in September.
Good.
Because I'm taking the summer off.
Yeah.
And
well deserved, by
the way. Hoping to get back right in the September 21st.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you having me on, Glenn. It was a really great experience.
Yeah.
And I would definitely recommend it for any of our podcasters
to go to that conference,
to give a conference. And I mean, Nanaimo was great. I mean, we're going to be all across Canada.
Yeah.
Did you know we had a guy there from Australia and a woman from San Francisco?
I didn't know about the San Francisco. Yeah. I did. The person from Australia did a couple talks.
And
I found them very interesting because he runs an organization very similar to the National Community Radio Association. But it was interesting to compare their efforts and successes and challenges to some of ours in Canada.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So the lady that was from San Francisco, her name was Jennifer Watts.
Right, that's
and
right.
And she actually was part of the movie.
Oh.
That one produced the original movie about campus radios.
Got it. Yeah.
Very, very interesting lady.
Cool.
That was another thing, Glenn, if I could just throw that in, was so great to see women and men. Like, it's not an organization that's only run by men. That's something that kind of I always want to see, you know, always out there, where women have a place with men.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
very equal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt that, too, as well as ages, too. Did you notice that, too?
Yeah, I did, which was great. Because, there, you know, you think in a lot of cases, a lot of things are aging out. Like,
sure.
if you look at, for example, Rotary.
Yeah.
In Smithers.
Or Lions Club or...
Yeah, they're not finding younger members.
Yeah.
Where I find in, found anyways, in the radio business, we've got young and old.
Yeah.
And a real mix of different people.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was very cool.
For a medium that is, I would say some people would call it ancient.
Yeah, exactly. But it keeps having its new life. You know, it's a new style. It's a new thing, you know. And of course, just as a reminder for everyone, we were very popular as the train car radio. Everybody knew about us.
We're popular for a bunch of reasons, but yeah, we do some pretty, we should take some pride. I think that's the other thing I wanted you to see, is that people know who we are at that conference. They know who we are, and they respect us, because I think we've done some things that we do things really, really well, and we represent a very small community, and we do a damn good job of it. And we're proving that a community radio station can exist and thrive in a community of 6,000 people, you know? And I think that makes a lot of people excited, especially those who are just starting out or thinking about a station in their communities, is that we can show them how it can work.
Exactly. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Glenn.
You are welcome. And that's it for State of Address. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being part of this amazing movement called CICK, Smithers Community Radio. Back to your programming.